It's time for quick takes. Speaking of the Cowboys, while on NFL Network's Good Morning Football on Monday, Cowboys wide receiver Michael Gallup said the Cowboys offense could be unstoppable in 2021. Stephen A., are the Cowboys the best offense in the NFC?
You know, first of all, the answer is no. I would go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I saw Swaggoo with his trolls all over Twitter. What's so funny, Stephen A.? What's so funny? They don't get it, Max. They still don't get it. Now we got a receiver talking smack. What do I say? What can't go wrong will go wrong. 2 years ago, Damian Woody picked them to win the Super Bowl title. They've always had a roster. They've always had talent. All I've ever said is that something will happen. Just wait.
Pace yourself.
Be patient. And what has happened, Max? What has happened, Molly? Every single year, something's happened. So now CeeDee Lamb is talking this. See, it's stuff like this that lets me know more of the same is coming. And by the way, we're hoping Dak Prescott comes back healthy, right? His backup is some dude named Cooper Rush. Ever heard of it?
Yeah, I have. It's a very quarterback name, and you know it.
I can see it coming. Go ahead, Max. Next up.
This is called Quick Take.
I can see it coming. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I love how they set themselves up.
It's called Quick Takes. You can't ask him about the Cowboys.
I don't even know why.
He's just having way too much fun. I let him go. All right, Max.
It really is.
Do this. Check out Arch Manning here, the nephew of Cowboy greats. Quarterback greats. Jeez, Freudian slip. Eli and Peyton Manning throwing a dime. What would Arch Manning have to do to be the best Manning in his family?
He'd have to have the elusivity and talent of Grandpa. He'd have to have the excellence of Peyton and the clutch ability of Eli. Peyton Manning is like the most excellent player who ever lived until it mattered most. Then Eli was the best, right? He may have all of that in him. He doesn't have to be the best in each category. Just mix it all up in there.
Yeah. And just beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. Max, Katie might have heard you talking about him yesterday, whether or not he's the best player in the world. Remember that debate?
Yeah.
With the ransacking of the Milwaukee Bucks last night, Durant is off to one of the best starts of his playoff career. It's his third most points and highest field goal percentage and three-point field goal percentage.
He looks so much like Tom Thibodeau, by the way, Kevin Durant, in this video. It's amazing. He can do everything.
Oh, by the way, Tom Thibodeau won Coach of the Year, Stephen A.
I'm happy for him. I voted for Monty Williams. Mm-hmm. But I have no problem with Tom Thibodeau winning the job that he's done with the Knicks, especially what we saw from the Knicks in the playoffs, showed how miraculous of a coaching job he did to get
I don't know why that was so controversial. Tibbs took a roster that everyone picked to be a terrible team.
A lot of people thought Monty Williams.
Yeah. Well, Monty Williams did excellent, but you knew the Suns, in the beginning of the season, you knew they were going to be good, at least good. They were 8-0 in the bubble. They got Chris Paul. The Knicks roster had everyone believing they were going to stink, and Thibodeau got them to be a good team. I think
I
he was coach of the
did
year.
A great job, but Monty Williams had the second best record in basketball.
Okay. He had a crew with him, though.
Okay, now back to our debate from yesterday. Kevin Durant being the best player in the world, Max saying Luka. We'll remind everyone what Max had to say on the
Luka.
Show yesterday.
No. Listen up.
Well,
Luka is as likely a candidate to be the best player in the game at this moment as anyone. Kevin Durant is a better scorer than Luka. He's a better scorer than almost anyone who ever lived. Luka is much more like James Harden. He controls the entire offense, like Harden or LeBron. The difference is LeBron's hurt and Harden's hurt. Luka's not. That Luka type of player might be the most important kind of player in the NBA. Kevin Durant, when Harden's been hurt this year, when he's been out, KD and Kyrie's record is not that impressive. When Harden plays, the record's very impressive because Harden, like Luka or like LeBron, is the dude that makes everyone around him better.
Well, you... Max?
Yeah, see, I would like to...
You hedged your bets.
It's not a hedge.
Yes, come on.
Molly,
you do likely,
not,
my, this, that.
Right,
you don't give
a
definitive take.
That is my definitive take, so we're clear, so that you're clear on it. Because if you're clear, maybe other people aren't. If you're not clear, is very simple. LeBron is hurt. He doesn't have the playoffs to prove that he's the world's best player, as always. So the crown can be seen as up for grabs. We don't know who the best player is. And it's like Bob Gibson said about the best catch of all time, Hall of Fame pitcher for the Cardinals. He said, it's like watching pretty girls go by. The best one ever is the last one you saw. And that's like the best player in the league right now. The best player in the league right now is the last one you saw. Right now it's KD. He just had that performance. Hard to imagine when you're watching that there's someone better. The day before it was Kawhi. Remember what Kawhi just did in a game seven? The day before it was Luka.
Don't gloss over that. So today you're saying it's KD?
What the point is?
Because that's the question.
The question is
did KD convince you he's the best player in the world?
No. The whole point is that's up for grabs, and there are a handful of dudes competing for it. And by the end of these playoffs, we'll have an idea who I'll be convinced, likely, who the best player in the world is.
Okay.
Luka's not going to be playing anymore. It's going to be hard for him to prove it, but he played as well as anybody in these playoffs. Mm-hmm. Jokic has a shot. Let's see. He's the MVP of the regular season. Kawhi has been excellent. He has a chance. James Harden, if he gets back, has a chance. Obviously, KD. He's the best scorer on the planet. There are a handful of dudes. KD is one of them. And this morning, after watching him last night, he's the best catch. He's the prettiest one. He's the best player. And tomorrow, it'll be someone else.
Okay. So it changes every day for Max. It's the,
until the last pretty girl
that he saw. So KD was the last pretty girl he saw, Stephen A. How about for you?
Well, he's the best in the world. But let me say this to Max Kellerman. Seriously, man, you need to stop being so weak with these kind of arguments. That's weak.
It's a definitive
take. No. It's weak. And I'm going to tell you why it's weak. You didn't have any problem calling Giannis the best in the world a couple of years ago.
That was predictive.
Time out.
And even at the time,
No. At the time, you said he was the best. Now, I know you changed your mind. I know you changed your mind in 5 days, which I teach you about. No. But that's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is you definitively said that's what he was. And you pointed to what you had seen over the course of an entire season. So what I'm saying is don't make the argument now, oh, because I saw KD last night. Because I saw KD last night. Now, if you say because of what I seen from KD this year or the last 2 years or whatever the case may be, that was different. But to sit up there and insult basketball minds across the globe that call somebody the best in the world just because we saw them last night, that's not what we do. You know that's not what we do.
Now, let me be very clear. We can go back and get the tape on Giannis, on what I said about Giannis.
Okay.
That at the time was predictive. He was the MVP, and he was also great defensively, both ends of the floor. And he did it all year. And my presumption was he was about to prove it in these playoffs. But I said, here it comes. Here comes the playoffs. This is where we find out. The reason my rankings changed so much is because, as you would say, it was fluid. We were in the process. And why'd I even say Giannis? LeBron was hurt. Same thing. The injury to LeBron, to me, opened things up. Would it be Giannis? Would it be Kawhi? Would it be KD? Would it be this one? Would it be that one?
Okay.
And it wasn't Giannis.
Okay, I'm not going to let you chew up all my time. What I'm going to say to you, however, to remind you of it, is that Giannis was the best player in the world on a Thursday. They were up 2-0 against Toronto. You didn't even, and based on those two games, along with everything else.
Correct.
So then he had a bad two games against Toronto, and Toronto tied the series 2-2. Mm-hmm. And you went from having them number one to number five.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. So mm-hmm. now that what I'm saying is it makes no sense. Now let me get to KD.
Perfect.
Here's why I tell you KD's the best offensive player in the world. There's no way to stop
offensive
him.
Offensive or best player?
Offensive, offensive, offensive. And I would say the best player in the world because I think that what he does defensively is decent enough. You might find a better defensive player, but when you take into account how prolific he is offensively.
So you're making the argument, best player in the world.
I would make the argument he's the best player in the world, okay? Because I think that he has that kind of effect. This dude is efficient. He's a sniper. He's 6'11 with a handle. He's got a mid-range game that can rival anyone's on the planet. The guy's got long-range sniper ability. He's lanky. He's long. He can drive to the basket. He can defend shorter guys. He can defend guys his size. Now, if you got big size and girth and all of that stuff, no, you put him on your hips. That'd be problematic because he's skinny. That's about the only thing you could hold against Kevin Durant. When somebody came to me and asked me, because I got a Get At Me segment on my show, Stephen A's World, and this lovely young lady called me to ask about LeBron compared to KD. And we all know that I got LeBron as a Mount Rushmore. He was one of the top three all time. Because his record is his record. But LeBron shoots 73% from the free throw line. Over the last three seasons, LeBron hasn't even hit 70%. KD is a career like 87, 88% free throw shooter. He hasn't shot less than 85% from the free throw line in his career. And we know what a shooter he is. The brother is unguardable. He is lethal. I told you years ago, Giannis didn't even belong in the same sentence as him. Now, I know KD may not talk like that, but I'm telling you, that's how I feel when I see him. He's just that prolific. And to think about the Portland Trailblazers and the situation that they're in now, let me remind everybody, the Portland Trailblazers were the folks with the number one overall pick. And they drafted Greg Oden out of Ohio State.
People are still drafting centers first.
And passed up on Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And they said, that's why they still haven't won.
All right, look. Everything you said about KD's offense is true. If you asked me, Molly, if the question was, who do I suspect is going to be the best by the end of these playoffs after watching KD do that? KD is very smart. He understood, wait a minute, I'm 7 feet tall, I can score from everywhere. He could even defend, he could pass everything. Why isn't he on a Mount Rushmore, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have the championships. That's easy for people to understand. Let me make sure I have great teammates so people can see me play deep into the postseason so I have a chance to play in the finals, win championships. He did that. He did it again in Brooklyn. Even Harden goes down, Blake Griffin steps up, dunks all over Giannis. He has great teammates again. So we are going to continue to see him play throughout these playoffs. And there's a good chance now with Harden's injury, he will be finals MVP. And at that point, if you said, are you convinced? Yeah, at that point, I'll be convinced. Dude, the lead changes depending on the last dude who played. KD played last. You want me to
depending
put him in first? Yeah. When Kawhi won a game seven, dropping 42 points.
And you were the only one who said he's the best in the world.
He might be right now.
I can line up, and Kawhi is lethal. We know he's big time. I can line up one NBA analyst after another across the globe, and no one would agree with your assertion that the best is based on the last performance you
at
just saw.
At this moment. No. Because of injury, too. Here are the following players. LeBron was hurt. We saw it in the playoffs. AD was not AD. Harden's out right
now.
You talking,
but you ain't making sense.
KD didn't play a full season.
You ain't making sense.
Stop me when we get to an elite player who wasn't hurt.
Well, you just keep talking. The point is, a couple of years ago when LeBron got hurt, you sat up there and said that he wasn't the best anymore because he didn't make the playoffs and he was hurt. And we said, yo, he's hurt.
No, that's not what I said.
Yes, you did.
No.
Yes,
what
you
I said did. Was, what I said was.
Yes, you did.
No, what I said was, LeBron always has the playoffs to prove that he's the best. He will not have them this season. So you look for who will.
No,
who's going to have
them
to prove
what
it?
The argument was, what we said was that he had 10 previous years. Mm-hmm. In the postseason, where he showed and established what he was.
So what about now, Stephen?
Wait a minute. Why not LeBron?
He's hurt now.
No, it's my turn. You zip it. So 10 years, this man was in the postseason establishing his greatness. What we were saying was, because he's hurt and they didn't make the playoffs, that doesn't take away from what we saw the previous 10 years.
You just said 5 seconds ago, KD is the best player in the world.
Yes.
LeBron is coming off a title. He just won the chip.
So,
he is hurt now,
right,
and you're giving it to KD. You're doing
We got a commercial break. We can come back to it.
Am I not on the record saying this about KD even when LeBron was healthy?
You said KD was
when
better
KD
than LeBron?
When KD was hurt. Yes!
Because LeBron was hurt.
No, I'm talking
when they're
about
both
when
healthy.
KD was hurt. I even said that.
Oh, well, we have to go.
Because I watch his game, unlike some people.
There's a lot of tape we need to pull up. A lot's happening. Let's get into a commercial break.
Not for KD. It's there.
Okay.
It's all there.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. In Phoenix's Game 1 win, Chris Paul broke a tie with LeBron James for the most playoff games with 20 points and 10 assists without recording multiple turnovers. CP3 shot 6-6 in the fourth quarter. That marked his most field goals without a miss in a playoff quarter in his career. Stephen A. Smith, take it away.
You know what time it is. It's time for this segment. It's Stephen's A-list. I'm listing some of the top point guards in the history of the NBA. Max, I want you to listen closely to me, Max Kellerman. I want you to listen closely. This is not just about resume. Resume has something to do with it, but it's also how you run a team. It's floor generalship. It's leadership. The impact you have on others, not just yourself. So we gonna go to number 5 on the list. Give it to me right here. CP3, number 5 all time. time. I know he doesn't have a title. Damn it, he's only been in one conference title game. But everywhere he goes, teams get better. We understand he's a miniature dynamo. He's a floor general. He's an extension of the coach, okay? He's that cerebral with a J, with handle, with superb passing ability. Decision making obviously has him right there. I got him number 5 all time. Why do I not have him number 4? You know why. It's right here. Give it to me. Isaiah Thomas, that's why. CP3 doesn't have a national title in college. CP3 doesn't have 2 NBA titles in the history of basketball with the Detroit Pistons. Beating Jordan along the way on numerous occasions. Beating Bird. Beating Magic. CP3 doesn't have that on his resume. Isaiah Thomas does. By the way, Isaiah Thomas is top 2 to the one and only Michael Jordan. He once said that to me a long time ago. I never forgot that. Let's go to number 3 on the list, please. Give it to me, the great one. Oscar Robertson, 1961-62. Only person to average a triple-double before Russell Westbrook made it an ordinary thing. Oscar Robertson did that. A career 25-point-per-game scorer. A career 9.5 assists per game scorer. A champion in 1971 with the Milwaukee Bucks, by the way. A 6'5 point guard who could rebound, who could assist, who could pass, who could score. The great Oscar Robertson belongs on any all-time great point guard list. I'll give it to him top 3, of course. Why can I not give him top 2? Because I'm not that old, that's why. I'm in this modern generation, and I know what this man right here does. Steph Curry, the greatest shooter God ever created. Oh, by the way, his movement without the basketball compromises defenses extraordinarily well because they've got their head on a swivel, wondering where he's at, that he's opening up opportunities for so many other people. From the point guard spot, him affecting a defense, the way that he affects the defense is why you got to put Steph Curry top 2 all time at the point guard spot. But we cannot ever put somebody number 1 unless their name is Magic, the great one himself. Irvin Magic Johnson, a 5-time champion, a man that went to 9 NBA finals, who dominated the 80s. I'm talking about Showtime coming to LA. I'm talking about making a fast break popular. He had Max Kellerman getting on his treadmill or his elliptical machine for crying out loud because he said, I want to run and I want to fill a break whenever I want to play the game of basketball. Magic Johnson had us doing that. Magic Johnson made fast break layups in vogue. Magic Johnson made the no-look passes special. I know the Bob Cousys of the world and others, but the Rick Barrys of the world and so many others with the no-look passes, the Pete Maraviches of the world and guys like that. But Irvin Magic Johnson, when you think point guards, you think about him first. These are my top 5 point guards of all time. Period.
Hold it right there. Hold it right there.
Stay right there. Let's go.
I just want to know. This is your point guard list.
My point guard. My point guard.
Correct. So floor generalship, whatever that
means. Floor general, that's right.
Like, this is your point guard list.
This is for me.
I just want to be very clear about this.
Yes.
It's perfect. I can't even argue. It's perfect.
Thank you very much. Take it away, Matt. Stay right there. Point to the perfection, Matt.
The only argument I can make is if you want to talk about LeBron James or James Harden, but I know you're not thinking of them like point guards. Magic is number 1. You could argue a little bit here. If Chris Paul wins a chip, he's a perfect point guard. Only thing he doesn't have is size. Otherwise, he does everything perfectly. I can't argue it. But Isaiah got 2 chips. You can't put him over Isaiah. Not only are those 5 the right 5, they're in the right order. I give it up when I give it up. That's all.
All right. We'll leave it
you
there.
Got it right.
Okay. We will leave it there.
They
Stephen A's list. Perfect
Stephen
agreement.
They do call me Stephen Naismith.
Who are they? I want to meet they. I want to meet them.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the Green Bay Packers start roll call for minicamp today, there will be a notably absent Aaron Rodgers, making it the first mandatory offseason event the quarterback will have ever missed, sources telling our Adam Schefter. It won't be cheap either. Rodgers is subject to more than $93,000 in fines if he does not show up for the entire three-day camp. No stranger to a minicamp or two in his day. My guy, Teddy Bruschi, joining the show. Where are you, Teddy? There he is. With the summer feels on the tie. I see you, Teddy. I like it. Thanks for being with us. I will get to you in a second, but I'm going to start with Stephen A. here because you know how personal it is for him. Stephen A., where do the Packers finish with a disgruntled Aaron Rodgers?
Even with a disgruntled Aaron Rodgers, I still think they win the NFC North.
Okay.
I still think they probably go to the playoffs, and I still think they challenge for the NFC title because I think that Aaron Rodgers is that gifted. I think they've got enough talent. You know, and I think everybody knows that. What we have to stop doing is acting like this is about football. We know that the Green Bay Packers are a quality football team. Mm-hmm. We know that they have talent on their roster. What we also know is that Aaron Rodgers believes he can go elsewhere and still win. It's not like he believes he's going to go somewhere else and wet the bed and they ain't going to do anything. He doesn't want to be there because it's personal. I believe with him and Mark Murphy, I believe with him and Brian Gutekunst, the combination of the two. And I think Mark Murphy validated that when he went on a public airwaves and accused Aaron Rodgers of dividing the fan base. He said the Aaron Rodgers situation has divided the fan base, to be more exact. So, I mean, that's what it is. And I think it's one of those situations where Aaron Rodgers is actually looking at it and going like this. Why should I help him win? Not the organization as a whole. Mm-hmm. Not the teammates, stuff like that. But Aaron Rodgers' success in Green Bay means their success in Green Bay. And I don't think he wants them successful. And I don't blame him.
Yeah, and disgruntled Aaron Rodgers, I believe he was disgruntled last year. He still won the MVP. So that type of mindset sometimes is good for certain types of players. Aaron Rodgers, of course, takes things personally. He took it personally about drafting a quarterback in the first round. Trading up. Those two words, traded up. To get a quarterback. You know, he took that personally. I mean, he remembers how he came in the league and he was waiting in that green room, so he's had a chip on his shoulder forever. But they'd be good with Aaron Rodgers, but I gotta tell you the conflict that the players in the locker room are feeling because they know they messed up, all right? The players know they treated Aaron Rodgers. They disrespected him in that. They gotta do something to make it right because everyone knows that in today's NFL, you gotta do what's best for the team. And sometimes you got to do what's best for the quarterback in terms of his feelings and the way, you know, he feels about his situation and winning and all of that, because that's how important that relationship is. So players feel disgruntled themselves to what happened with the upper management, but also I would want them to play hardball with Aaron Rodgers, because the longer this goes, the more leverage the team will have. And I don't care if Aaron Rodgers comes back the week of the regular season, he'll still be ready to go because I want to win, and you're not going to win with Jordan Love as your starter.
I think that people are, Stephen A., you're sleeping on the NFC West. You know, when you look at the teams that have come out of the NFC West, San Francisco, Seattle, they've been in the Super Bowl recently. Mm-hmm. The Rams.
Yeah, Arizona's up and coming, yeah.
Arizona's up and coming. So I don't know. I don't know how far they get. And, Teddy, this is what I want you to weigh
North.
In.
I just said NFC.
Yeah, I believe. I'm just saying that right. They got to the NFC Championship game last mm-hmm. two seasons. I don't know that they do that again because I think there's been a change, Teddy, and I'm interested in your opinion about this. Aaron Rodgers wasn't so disgruntled that he made it public. He wasn't holding out. He wasn't missing anything with the team. He didn't publicly let it know. It wasn't the biggest story in sports that, hey, I want out, and they won't let him go. Teddy, is it possible? I know he's a professional. I know he'll play well. Is it possible to win a Super Bowl with a quarterback who doesn't want to be there? I say the answer is no. I think the Packers know that. Molly thinks, no, you can still do it because professional pride, he's not going to get himself hurt. And Stephen A., is he going to play as well as he can? I think there's more to it than just the X's and O's playing as well as you can. It seems to me the quarterback, the reason Brady has won so much, has to be all in heart and soul. Can the Packers win a Super Bowl with Rodgers if he doesn't want to be there this year?
Man, if it's in Aaron Rodgers to say before he comes back to the Green Bay Packers, I was wrong. Why don't I come in here and play out this year before I can get out of there? Once he's made that conscious decision, they're still good enough to win a Super Bowl, in my opinion. He can compartmentalize that type of aggression towards the front office. He'd have probably an understanding that I don't see you. You don't come down to the locker room. This is what I'll do with my teammates. I don't even want to talk about it. So you just stay up there, Gutekunst, and all you guys up there, and let me do my job. There would be that type of situation that would be worked out, but he'd still be good enough and he'd still be motivated and he would elevate the play of everyone else if he made the decision to get there. But that's just the thing. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is the type of player that would say, yeah, that's my bad, man. Let me go in and be a good teammate.
No, I don't. I don't think he is. Not only do I not think he's that kind of person, I will say this, Teddy. You just said something. For the first time, I sit here and it makes me think it's possible that he could play next season for the Green Bay Packers for the first time because of what you just said. If it's easier to get me out of here after next season and you tell me I don't have to look at you, I don't have to talk yeah. to you, I don't want motivate you to say him in a word, way. Yeah. I said stay the hell away from me, I will come here and do my job. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you. Don't even say hello to me. Leave me the hell alone. If I have that type, because that's an element of peace and tranquility. When you look at somebody that you have animosity for, when you are in front of a person that you don't like and you don't want to be around, and you got to talk to them, that's hard. It really is. Yeah. But when you get to sit up there and say, you know what? Don't even look at me. I don't even want to see you. That could go a long way.
I agree.
That's the first time I actually thought about that.
Stephen A., and I'm telling you, the longer this goes, the longer this they decide to drag this out, the more leverage I believe Green Bay has, because teams are going to look at this and saying, they're not going to trade him. So why should I put anything on hold to think I'm getting Aaron Rodgers when I need him here during these type of camps and this type of time? So we can get things worked out. So the longer it goes, I think Aaron knows they have the leverage and they have a better chance of getting him back.
Teddy and Max, but guess where I'm at too? I'm not completely dismissive of the notion that Aaron Rodgers would be willing to sit out the season rather than play next year for Green Bay.
Oh, I think he will be willing.
I think that he's the kind of person. And listen, he's spending his time in Cali, I think, when he's not. So let me get this straight. I think somebody this morning pointed out it was Hasselbeck. I'm trying to remember who it was that said it this morning, but they talked about how Aaron Rodgers has made over $200 million mm-hmm. in his NFL career. Tim Hasselbeck, right? There was Tim Hasselbeck, right? It's not implausible that he could chill in the California sunshine.
This is the whole thing.
Instead of Lambeau Field in Green Bay for a season and then come back for 2022.
That's what I'm saying. The way I see this playing out is if Rodgers adopts that position, which I think is likely, mm-hmm. and the team believes it, it's not even about how strong your bluff is. It's about if you have real conviction. Mm-hmm. Then the team has a choice. We're not going to get Rodgers anyway. Oh, we can get three firsts and what for him? Why would they not trade him?
I also think it sends an important message, Teddy. You tell me if I'm wrong. I also think we've reached a point in time in the National Football League where the league itself, the team owners, they have so much power mm-hmm. over the players because your guaranteed contract is really about your signing bonus, et cetera. I think Aaron Rodgers has an opportunity to send a profound message to these teams about their treatment of players.
Yeah, I really do.
Where it's even bigger than him. But I just want to underscore something you said really quick, Teddy, and then you can have the final word here. That last season he was also disgruntled and he won MVP. So the part where you were saying if he does stay, he can compartmentalize and get the job done like a true professional.
And just real quick, you got to realize who else is watching all of this. And that's Jordan Love and how they're treating Aaron and how they want him. Do you really want the next one, if you believe that strongly in Jordan Love, to come through all of this, to come through all this mess, to be that next quarterback you think it's going to be, and you're trying to get Aaron back? And so, I mean, the conflict inside of Jordan Love must be something too. This is not exactly the typical way you want to develop a young quarterback.
And we've talked about Mark Murphy and his public statement about Aaron Rodgers' situation dividing the fan base. We've heard Gutekunst acknowledge they could have treated him better, they could have handled things better, et cetera, et cetera, although there weren't many specifics. And we do have a quote from the NFC Championship game when the ball was taken out of his hands and Coach LaFleur comes out and says, I didn't think of talking to Aaron Rodgers about that decision. Aaron Rodgers wasn't aware. He thought he was playing for four with four downs, and it turns out he was only playing with three. So what you have is the man running the organization trickling down to the GM, and of course with LaFleur it wasn't intentional or whatever, but it's with him forgetting to talk to Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, they're connected.
Like, it's connected.
They're connected.
And there's a connected level of disrespect that has been accorded to Aaron Rodgers, and that is what this is about.
Molly, when you say he won last year, he won the NFC Championship game last year, and that's, you know, he was disgruntled, but there's a straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, oh, they move up, as Teddy said, move up to draft my successor when I could get some help, maybe put me over the top.
Okay.
Then they take the ball out of his hand with the moment of truth, and finally he's like, yo, I'm out.
Let me say LaFleur.
Yeah, and the final thought Aaron has is Aaron has just this thought of, I've been carrying you guys for too long, and I'm not going to make you look that good anymore.
That's
so
right.
Let's see what you can do with your prize quarterback that you traded up to get.
And just in case Coach is watching, it's LaFleur. Let me not play with his name. It's LaFleur. Okay.
I thought you were just working on your French. I know you spend time in Saint Tropez and stuff like that.
Because I'm serious about this stuff, so I don't want to be distracted by mispronouncing his name. Because I hear he.
Are you allowed to pronounce it correctly, but with flair?
I guess I've heard he's sensitive to that. When I say LaFleur.
So if he said Stephen A. Smith, would you have a problem with that?
Not at all.
Okay.
Not as long as you spell my name correctly. It's with a P-H, not a V. That's it. That's all I have.
Teddy Bruschi.
Teddy, help me. Just help me. Pray for me. Do a couple Hail Marys, okay? Right. For me. Thanks. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The Utah Jazz have been getting rest goals as of late, having not played since last Wednesday after awaiting their next opponent. Clips got next as the Clippers-Jazz semifinals tipped off tonight. Stephen A., who has more to prove in the series, Paul George or Donovan Mitchell?
I believe it's Donovan Mitchell, believe it or not. Now, I'm on record saying he's a superstar. He is something special to behold. But because you're going against Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and they're coming, this is your opportunity to cement your arrival on this big scene. You know, we already know you're a youngster who's a star and a stud. I call you D-Wade 2.0 because I believe in Donovan Mitchell. I believe that's exactly what the hell he is. We have seen the Utah Jazz struggle in the postseason. This is not his first time past the first round, but this is the first time he's been in this position where it's these kind of expectations. The Utah Jazz, with Donovan Mitchell looking the way that he's looking, are the favorites to come out of the Western Conference. and Kawhi and Paul George are standing in your way. What he does in this series, if Donovan Mitchell shows up the way he showed up last year against Denver in the first round, the way he showed up in this year's first round against Ja Morant and Memphis, if that Donovan Mitchell continues to look that way against Kawhi and Paul George, it's really official. I mean, to me, it's official already. But it's really official as to the superstar this brother is. He's the one with more to prove for me.
To me, it's Paul George. Paul George is the one with more to prove. I already know Donovan Mitchell can be the leading scorer on a playoff powerhouse, even though they didn't advance very, but you could see it, Donovan Mitchell, and he's on a powerhouse. Can Paul George be a second banana who's good enough, a Robin who is good enough so that you can win a title, at least get out of the West? Can he do it? Can he do it consistently? Kawhi is a two-time finals MVP, and he's doing his thing in these playoffs, as always. If Paul George can match it, B1B to his 1A or 1A to his 1, whatever. Who's to say Utah gets out of the West? In fact, with two dudes like this, they have everything you want on a team to win a chip. They should get to the finals. The Clippers should get to the finals if Paul George can do it. He hasn't done it in the past. Playoff P, right? Like, this is the issue. He's got to do it. I think he has more to prove.
Okay, we'll keep it going. Okay. We have been blessed with some excellent basketball this postseason with stars from the East and both the West showing out, guys. Stephen A., most valuable player in the playoffs thus far?
Nikola Jokic. I don't think anybody can deny that. We've seen great performances all over the place. I have a vote. He's my MVP. And the same Nikola Jokic that I've seen in the regular season, who, by the way, never missed a game this year, is the same Jokic I've seen in the postseason. I'm watching this guy. He just looks like a big tub of lard. Can't jump onto a damn curb. And you can't stop him. His footwork, his movement, his passing ability, his basketball IQ, his ability to shoot the ball, his strength. This dude is something special. He truly, truly is. What a talent at the big guy. I mean, we used to talk about Arvydas Sabonis like this, okay?
If we only could have seen him in his prime, right?
We used to talk about that.
Yeah.
Now, again, the man can't jump onto a curb, okay? Can't jump onto a curb. It don't matter. Everybody that goes against him looks small. DeAndre Ayton, 7 feet tall. He looks small, looks miniature next to Jokic, okay? The only person that I saw really ever give him problems was Anthony Davis last year in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Jokic is the real deal. He is a model of consistency. He's consistent. He's reliable. He's trustworthy.
He runs the offense.
He runs the offense, and he's big time. He can close. He's not scared of the moment. And he makes people better around him. He, to me, is the MVP this season, both regular season, and thus far, the playoffs.
It's a good pick. I respect it. I say this respectfully because Kawhi Leonard only played in 52 games this year and averaged 34 minutes a game and gave you 25, 7, and 5. Typical Kawhi in the regular season. By the way, 40, 50, 89, right? Okay. You know what he did in the playoffs, though? Because here comes playoff Kawhi Leonard. He joins Kareem. I mentioned this yesterday. Bernard King and Shaq as the only 60, 40, 90 guys in playoff history with 200 points in a playoff. Look at this. Look at game 6 and 7 versus the Mavericks, Stephen A., when their backs were to the wall. What this dude did. 45 on 18 of 25. And then 28 on 10 of 15 with 10 boards and 9 assists. You know what he's doing for the playoffs? I said 60, 40, 90. He's giving you 32, 8, and 5. But guys, the big thing is, he did miss that corner three. He airballed it, right? And it looked like the season was over. The fact that he came back from that to be the best player on the court, on a court with Luka Doncic, in games 6 and 7, Kawhi is my MVP of the first round. MVP of the playoffs so far.
Okay, we'll keep it going. While we're talking MVP, we would be remiss not to touch on some of the top-performing teams this postseason who might have been slept on. Max, which team is the most overlooked in the playoffs thus far?
The Nuggets. And they're hurt. Like, you know, they have a lot of depth in their backcourt, but it's being tested now. And if they had Jamal Murray, I'd take them to get out of the West. They don't. Even so, because they don't have Jamal Murray, we've been trying to write them off for so long. Mm-hmm. They didn't miss a beat without Jamal Murray. And even if I think they're challenged in these playoffs, let's not get carried away by what the Suns just did. You mentioned it, Molly and Stephen A., at home with a true sixth man, the fans. Denver got mile high. They got a real home court, too. And the bottom line is, and hats off to Ayton, he played great against Jokic last night. Jokic remains the best player in the series. He was the best player in last series with Damian Lillard. His team advanced. He is the best player in this series with Devin Booker and Chris Paul and Ayton. And his team has a real chance to advance. I think we are sleeping hardest on the Nuggets.
For me, it's the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks were losing big games, weren't even going to make the playoffs, got rid of their coach, brought in Nate McMillan, who was just fired from the Indiana Pacers job, okay, and go on a tear, finishes a top five seed in the Eastern Conference. They get to the playoffs. Yeah, you beat my Knicks because you were the better team with better players, period. No excuses. But you roll up to Philadelphia with a team most people felt is coming out of the East. A lot of people felt was coming out of the East. Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid rolls out on the court, and you are still up 29. Trae Young still dropping 35.
And Embiid did his thing.
And Embiid did his thing, and you still lost. And you still beat him if you're the Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks, Quavo, I brought him up earlier. This is why I forgot to say earlier. Quavo called the Atlanta Hawks the Splash Brothers East. Mm. Not me. I'm not that. That wasn't me. He said that.
It's a good one.
He said, man, we can shoot. And they most certainly can. And if the Philadelphia 76ers, we are sitting here with the Philadelphia 76ers getting set for game two in the Eastern Conference semifinals tonight. If the Philadelphia 76ers lose tonight, the Atlanta Hawks are going to the Eastern Conference finals.
You know, one dude who has done more for himself in these playoffs, I think, than anyone else is Trae Young.
Yeah.
Because he's Steph Curry light, but under pressure, he is fearless. And he's been as good as anybody. Like, Trae Young's stock, he's a top 15, top 20 type player.
Yes.
By the time the smoke clears, it's going to be
well,
higher.
He's been putting on a show, like what he did in New York with the fans and how he handled everybody. Yeah. It's like next level star power.
It's pizzazz.
Yep. He makes around him better. Everyone around him
another
better.
Another point that I got to give Quavo some love for this, too.
Quavo's getting a lot of love on this show.
You know what I'm saying?
He's earning it.
Because he earned it. Because he said what he said.
Yeah.
He's bringing up these points.
That's good.
He said, yo, look at the Eastern Conference. He said, we're the best opponent for the Brooklyn Nets. He said, you're not stopping them. You got to have a chance to outshoot them. There's only one team that could do it. It's us. That's what he said.
I want Quavo in your seat. Right, if you're not here,
it's a very
I think Quavo should fill in.
I'm just looking at him right now because Ben Simmons, we know he can't shoot. We know he can play, but he can't shoot. How much you go when you think about the Brooklyn Nets dropping 130 on you? How are you going to compete with that if you can't shoot?
At least they'll lose 130, 127 or something like that. It'll be fun.
Sixers better win tonight.
Yeah. I mean,
they better win.
You've had to pay very close attention to the Hawks, so you would be an expert on Atlanta and what they're capable of on the court. You know, especially
Quavo made sure to remind me of that, too.
Goodbye, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.